माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यजन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी माधव कुंज विहारी।
ओम विष्णुपाद प्रमुख सुप्रभाचार्य सूत्र रिजवाइन ग्रेस केसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रेराजकाचार्य सूत्र श्रीवाई ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की। जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णवंद की। जय श्री रामाचार्य हरिदास ठाकुर की। जय प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की। जय श्री राधा कृष्ण गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। जय वृंदावन मथुरा द्वारका धाम की। जय मायापुर नवदीप धाम की। जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। जय भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की। जय गंगे माय जमने माय की। जय सामवेद भक्त वृंद की। जय ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस ऑल ग्लोरियस श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 chapter entitled Dhritarashtra quits home. Vidurastad abhipretya Dhritarashtram abhasata Rajan nirgamyatam shigram Pashyedam bhayamagatam. विदुरास्तद अभिप्रेत्य धृतराष्ट्रम अभासत राजन निर्गम्यतां शीघ्रम पश्येदं भयमागतम्। विदुरास्तद अभिप्रेत्य धृतराष्ट्रम अभासत राजन् निर्गम्यतां शीघ्रम् पश्येदं भयमागतम्। धृतराष्ट्रमभासत राजन् निर्गम्यतां शीघ्रम् पश्येदं भयमागतम्।
विदुरस्तद अभिप्रेत्य धृतराष्ट्रं न भासत राजन् निर्गम्यतां शीघ्रं पश्येदं भयमागतम्। विदुरास्तदभिप्रेत्य धृतराष्ट्रमभासत राजन् निर्गम्यतां शीघ्रं पश्येदं भयमागतम्।
माताजी वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। विदुरा महात्मा, सॉरी विदुरा महात्मा विदुरा, तद दैट अभिप्रेत्य नोइंग इट वेल, धृतराष्ट्रम अंटु धृतराष्ट्र अभासत सेड राजन ओ किंग निर्गम्यताम प्लीज गेट आउट इमीडिएटली शीघ्रम विदाउट द लीस्ट डिले पश्य जस्ट सी इदम दिस भयम फियर अगातम ऑलरेडी अराइव्ड। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you." Purport. Cruel death cares for none, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhishthira. Therefore, spiritual instructions, as was given to old Dhritarashtra, was equally applicable to younger Maharaj Yudhishthir. As a matter of fact, everyone in the royal palace, including the king and his brothers and mother, was raptly attending the lectures. But it was known to Vidura that his instructions were especially meant for Dhritarashtra, who was too materialistic. The word Rajan is especially addressed to Dhritarashtra significantly. Dhritarashtra was the eldest son of his father, and therefore, according to law, he was to be installed on the throne of Hastinapur. But because he was blind from birth, he was disqualified. He was disqualified from his rightful claim. But he could not forget the bereavement, and his disappointment was somewhat compensated after the death of Pandu, his younger brother. His younger brother left behind him some minor children, and Dhritarashtra became the natural guardian of them. But at heart, he wanted to become the factual king and hand the kingdom over to his own sons, headed by Duryodhana. With all these imperial ambitions, Dhritarashtra wanted to become a king, and he contrived all sorts of intrigues in consultation with his brother-in-law Shakuni. But everything failed by the will of the Lord, and at the last stage, even after losing everything, man and money, he wanted to remain as king, being the eldest uncle of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Maharaj Yudhishthira, as a matter of duty, maintained Dhritarashtra in royal honor, and Dhritarashtra was happily passing away his numbered days in the illusion of being a king or the royal uncle of King Yudhishthira. Vidur, as a saint and as the duty-bound, affectionate youngest brother of Dhritarashtra, wanted to awaken Dhritarashtra from his slumber of disease and old age. Vidura therefore sarcastically addressed Dhritarashtra as the king, which he was actually not. Everyone is the servant of eternal time, and therefore no one can be king in this material world. King means the person who can order. The celebrated English king wanted to order time and tide, but the time and tide refused to obey his order. Therefore, one is false king in the material world, and Dhritarashtra was particularly reminded of his false position and of the factual fearful happenings which had already approached him at that time. Vidura asked him to get out immediately. If he wanted to be saved from the fearful situation which was approaching him fast, he did not ask Maharaj Yudhishthir in that way because he knew that a king like Maharaj Yudhishthir is aware of all the fearful situations of this flimsy world and would take care of himself in due course, even though Vidura might not be present at that time.
ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकय चक्षुरोन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यामनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामिहं ददाति स्वापदान्तिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां सागरजातां सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं सावदेतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धो दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता श्रीराधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पंचकल्पत्रुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम रामा हरे हरे
रीडिंग द ट्रांसलेशन वन मोर टाइम Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you.
First of all, I seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas to shower their blessings, because I don't deserve to be sitting here, but maybe it is the will of the providence, or maybe some plan of Krishna that I am sitting here, and very grateful to the temple management. And I have asked my name, or rather given my name, because I know that if I don't give my name, I will not be able to study Srimad Bhagavatam. And once it is given, then I am forceful to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So thank you so much to the temple management for giving me this opportunity. So hopefully whatever we discuss today will be helpful to myself and maybe to all of you as well. So before we start, it's always good to recap, right? Many times people, old times, maybe seeing the serial, maybe today also maybe in the serial, it's always good to connect that ab tak kya hua isme, right? So it's a very wonderful chapter of Dhritarashtra with Holmes. So it starts with how Vidurji is concluding his discussion with Maitreya Muni and how he has briefly visited the places and coming back to Hastinapur. So it's interesting that how Srila Prabhupada has given us the, not just the age old, but the timeless wisdom in terms of how one should be visiting the holy places. So if you see how Vidurji is being described as visiting the holy places, you don't see any description coming saying that Vidurji took this darshan or that darshan. That is definitely there. You go to the holy places, there are darshans are there. But the most important thing, as Prabhupada always used to quote, that whenever you go to holy places, don't just go for, like, you know, taking a dip in a holy river or taking some darshan of the deities. That is given. But the most important thing when you go to the holy places is to associate with the holy people. That is the most important thing. And that is what Vidurji had done. And that's what Srila Prabhupada always made us aware, that why and what we should be doing when we go to the holy places. So then Vidurji is coming to Hastinapur, and there's a wonderful description of how everyone was so welcoming to Vidurji, and like practically everyone was crying in ecstasy that finally we are able to see our most dearest Vidurji. So I was just wondering that we should be not exactly like Vidurji, that wherever we go people are welcoming us, but at least we can make it a point that wherever we go, people should not say that, you know, ye banda kyun aaya hai, why the hell this person is here. At least we can try for that. We cannot be like Vidurji, where people will be in ecstasy to see us, but at least they should not be in distress by seeing us. So that is one thing we can do. So now Vidurji was having a wonderful welcome in Hastinapur, and then he ate nicely, and after that he took rest. And of course, after that, he came and met with Yudhishthir Maharaj. And of course, Yudhishthir Maharaj very nicely inquired from him that, my dear Vidurji, my dear uncle, which all places you have visited? Who all did you meet? And specifically, he asked about Dwarka. Huh? So that's what we see, even Yudhishthir Maharaj being such a great king. But like, you know, he was such an innocent at heart, and like, you know, so wonderful devotee as inquiring. And like, you know, you can see when you read this translation in Srimad Bhagavatam, you can feel that his excitement to hear about what's happening in Dwarka is amazing, isn't it? So that is also something we can learn when we meet devotees or others. Like, you know, we can inquire with that intensity, with that devotion, with that particular curiosity, that what's happening in such places. And then, of course, Vidurji is answering, and see the sensitivity around that. Like, you know, as Prabhupada used to say that, like, you know, there is so much to learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. So we see that sensitivity aspect, that Vidurji, even though Yudhishthir Maharaj asked that what's happening in Dwarka, he described many things, but he did not say that Krishna left, right? Or rather, he did not describe that the whole Yadu dynasty, rather, has been destroyed. Because it will pain Yudhishthir Maharaj so much. So we should always be very, very sensitive in terms of what we say, right? It's not that always we can just call out everything is as it is. Sometimes we have to be very selective in what we say. So he did not describe wrongly, but he did not talk about that particular aspect, right? So that's a sensitivity. So that discussion is happening between Yudhishthir Maharaj and Vidurji, and then now we are here where and yesterday I was very happy, and I know one person was in distress as he called out that he was being called last minute to give a class, but we are very fortunate to hear that wonderful class by His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu. It was really fantastic. He removed our illusion that even being a devotee, we can be under illusion that, like, you know, whatever the big projects and other things that we do. And it was really nice to hear Krishna Katha in the end. It was very sweet pastime that was narrated by him about the name-giving ceremony of Krishna and Balaram. So thank you, Madan Gopal Prabhu, for giving that wonderful class. And today in this verse, we are discussing that how Vidurji is actually addressing everybody, but as being described in the purport by Srila Prabhupada very specifically, that it was actually meant for Dhritarashtra. So today we will be discussing three main things from this particular verse. One word comes is Rajan. Second word comes describing about fear, that, like, you know, your fearful situation, you are not able to see. And the third thing will talk about, if time permits, we'll talk about time. So, just before we dive into these three discussions of Rajan being the positions or the aspirations that Dhritarashtra had, second thing about fear. So, let me just read this translation one more time, and I just want to highlight one very important thing that I learned. It says, Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, My dear king, please get out of here immediately. Do not delay. Just see how fear has overtaken you. Now, who was seeing that the fear has overtaken Dhritarashtra? Vidurji. Was Dhritarashtra seeing that he was overtaken by the fear? Was Dhritarashtra seeing? No. He was not seeing. But Vidurji was seeing. Was Yudhishthir seeing? Yes. Was Bhima seeing? Practically everyone was seeing except Dhritarashtra. So there was a beautiful concept was invented or created by two people called Joe and Harry. And initially somebody used to say that have you heard of the Johari window? So initially I was thinking he's talking about Johari, like, you know, some jeweler or maybe some Johari, like, you know. And then finally I realized there are two people, Joe and Harry, who has created this four quadrant. It's interesting to know, and it practically helps in our devotional life as well, and being a person as well. So what is the first window? The first window is we know what are our limitations or what are our shortcomings. And others also know that what are our shortcomings and what are our, like, you know, limitations. Second is we know, others do not know about our weaknesses or shortcomings. So that's kind of okay, right? We know, but the others do not know. So we try to still put up a show that others still do not know, and I'm okay. Third quadrant is we do not know, so as the others also do not notice or they do not know. So that's definitely nobody has to worry about it. But the fourth is the most important quadrant. We do not know, but others know. That is the most deadly thing. That the person go on committing the mistakes thinking that I'm absolutely fine. And the other see ke baba, kya murakh hai tu, kya kar kya raha hai yaar? But just because these people do not have that right to tell that person, because that person may be at the higher position. So others may not have that particular way to communicate to him. So you can imagine the kind of situation that person is in. And that's what exactly the Dhritarashtra was in. Where everyone else was seeing that, what are you doing? But he was thinking, though, I'm absolutely fine. Nothing wrong. Right? So that's something we have to be very, very careful in our life. Now let's talk about the first one, Rajan, right? Says, very beautifully described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, that Dhritarashtra was amazingly inspired and aspired to be a king. So, unfortunately, we do not have the, like, you know, the childhood pastimes of Dhritarashtra. Otherwise, it would be really interesting to know what he would be doing at that time to, like, you know, just to make sure that he can get to the king, right? Because when we know from the time when everything was grown up, right, Dhritarashtra and everyone, and we know that it was a decision made that Dhritarashtra cannot be king because he's blind and Pandu should be the king. So from there on, we know the story, and, like, you know, many times Dhritarashtra tried to, like, you know, pose himself that, you know, main kyun nahi ban sakta king, why not me, and things like that. And then, of course, when you have so much of desire, maybe destiny also plays some tricks with you, isn't it? So that Pandu has to have an untimely death, so that Dhritarashtra's, like, you know, desire again arouses, and, oh, wow, this is a golden opportunity for me to become a king, right? And then Kunti Maharani was, Kunti Devi was, like, you know, growing up her kids into the forest, but somehow or other all the sages came and said, no, you must go to the Hastinapur, that's where you and all your children belong, so you must go there. And now Dhritarashtra unwillingly welcomes Kunti Devi along with her five wonderful kids, Pandavas. And then, after that, it's really amazing that how Dhritarashtra, along with his wonderful son Duryodhana, trying to make sure that either myself or my son Duryodhana remains the king. And what level of endeavor that Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana put together is unbelievable. Is unbelievable how Srila Prabhupada also describes that, like, you know, he tried so hard making allies with his brother-in-law Shakuni and so many things, right? They tried to kill Bhima when he was really young by poisoning him, Lakshagra, like, you know, they wanted to burn them alive. And then Dhritarashtra encouraging Yudhishthir, please come for gambling match. And once he saw that ghastly thing, right, that what happened in that Dhruta Krida, in that whole gambling match, where, like, you know, it's called Asat Sabha, right? It's such a ghastly thing happened in that whole gambling match. And after that, for whatever reason, like, you know, there is one diya was burning and then it gets extinguished. And he realized that, oh, it's very inauspicious. And then somebody tells him that you give back everything, otherwise there is danger coming on you. So he called Draupadi and begged forgiveness and says, whatever you want, I give you. And then that's how gives the half the kingdom back. But still he cannot, because this aspiration was so high, his motivation was so high for him or his son to be a king, then he again calls Yudhishthir for gambling match. Can you imagine? This whole episode has gone through with such a obnoxious thing, and still he wants to invite Yudhishthir. See the guts that he has to invite Yudhishthir Maharaj for another gambling match. So I was just wondering, like, you know, nowadays we have this YouTuber or YouTube videos where, like, you know, hundreds of motivational speaker comes and, like, you know, motivates. I don't know who was there at that time motivating Dhritarashtra to do so much, and he was so motivated to, like, you know, fulfill his aspiration is really amazing. So I was just thinking that, is it wrong to have aspirations? Maybe not, right? It's good to have aspirations. But nowadays, if you see, what are our aspirations? Especially if I have to look for myself. My aspiration is looking at the external world. Like, you know, maybe some, like, you know, corporate tycoon, or maybe some sports stars or things like that. That's what we make our aspirations for, right? So basically, our aspirations are not coming from within. Our aspirations are coming from the external world, isn't it? And the problem is, our aspirations keep changing. So that itself shows that our aspirations are not genuine or something that is connected with the self. And many a times, our aspirations are based on any of the six opulences that Krishna possesses. And the Kali Yuga Jeev, thinking himself or herself to be a smarter, they aspire for one thing. And they know that if I achieve this one opulence, practically I can achieve all the other opulences as well. And what is that opulence? If I have that one opulence, everything else I can achieve is wealth. Right? If you have wealth, then you can have your costly surgeries, and a black man can become white, Mr. Michael Jackson. You can become beautiful however you like nowadays. The invention has go up there. They can completely change your face. Completely. And make you as beautiful as you like. So if you have wealth, you can do that. You can become the most beautiful person. If you have wealth, what you can do? You can become the most strongest. There are surgeries and other things can you do. You can take, like, you know, steroids and other things and make your really muscular body. Become the most strongest person or the Mr. Universe. By doing that, knowledge, how can you become more knowledgeable? Of course, there is no injection coming that, you know, you become more intelligent. That's not possible. So what do? You employ the most intelligent people, isn't it? If you have the wealth of the entire world, you can employ the most intelligent people and work for you. So you can have practically the most knowledge with you. Fame is practically the byproduct. If you're wealthy, do you require anybody to say that this person is famous? you automatically become famous. So fame is just a byproduct of that. Now the only problem that Kali Yuga Jeev did not realize is, what about the renunciation? How can you have that opulence? So we see even the wealthy people, when they do not have the real devotion, but they still try to control the renunciation, right? By giving big donations and try to have those renunciates coming to their place and doing different things and showing different stuff. But they actually attract only the false renunciates. They cannot attract the real or the true renunciates. There is a story comes in the recent history of Akbar. Aajkal ke jo, like, you know, Maharathis hai, probably they may not be that, like, you know, wealthy. Akbar was practically ruling the India in one sense, right? Now that person, when he heard Tansen, he said, like, this is amazing. What a brilliant, like, you know, music that you play and sing and everything. So he said, I would like to hear more than, like, you know, whom did you learn from? Right? So he says, I learned from Haridas ji. So he says, bring him to my court. I would like to hear him. He said, sorry, sir. He cannot come. He says, why? He says, he sings only for the Lord. He doesn't sing for anybody from this mortal world. He doesn't sing for anybody from this world. He sings only for the Lord. So if you want to hear, he cannot come here. You go to his place, and that too also not at your time. Whenever he is singing and you are fortunate enough to hear him, that's your thing. So that is a true renunciate who is not being purchased by any money. That is the true renunciates. And that is where this Kali Yuga Jeev, having this aspiration for, like, you know, wealth and so many things that they want to have, right? And then they want to have positions also, right? They just don't want to have wealth, right? Because wealth, what they do? I want to become the chairman of Lions Club. I want to become the president of the Rotary Club. They all want positions, isn't it? So there is another beautiful story that I heard, talks about position and how one should be understanding the position. And he explains with a ceramic cup and a styrofoam cup. Very beautifully explains. That person who is actually a coach, nowadays you may be hearing that, you know, so many people playing the coach role, like, you know, being a coach to someone. So this person comes to give a lecture in one particular hall in America. And before he's about to begin his talk, he had a, like, you know, this is a steel glass, but he had a styrofoam coffee cup in his hand. And then before he start his talk, he said, I would like to share something with you all. And he said, last year, practically the same month, I gave a talk in the same hall. But at that time, I was Secretary of Defense. I was holding that position of Secretary of Defense. And before they scheduled my talk, of course, they called me and they said, is this date okay? I said, yeah. As soon as I confirmed the date, there was a nice envelope arrived at my home with the tickets of business class or of first class that I can travel, that was there. And then they gave me all the itinerary that, like, you know, as soon as I reach airport, there will be a chauffeur-driven car will be available, Mercedes or BMW or whatever. They will take me to the hotel. There will be a person who will be ushering me to my room. From my room, there is another person ushering me to the hall, to the green room and things like that. So there was a complete, like, you know, royal treatment. And then he describes that once I reached to green room when I was a Secretary of Defense, I reached to the green room, I was given a coffee with a very beautiful ceramic cup. And today, you'd like to know how I came? Somebody said, would you like to give a talk? I said, yeah. Of course, they said, you please book your ticket and we'll reimburse the money. So I had to book my own ticket. When I reached airport, there was nobody there to pick me up. I had to go and hire the taxi. I came to the hotel. And then from hotel, there was nobody ushering me to the green room. I walked myself. And when I came to the green room, there is nobody was there to give me a coffee or anything. I had to see, oh, there is a vending machine of the coffee. I went there. There was a styrofoam cup. I took that. I poured the coffee. And I came here. She says, I was always deserving this styrofoam cup. Who deserves that beautiful ceramic cup? The position, not me. I deserve styrofoam cup. But the position deserved the beautiful ceramic cup. And that is the reason I was given a ceramic cup then. And today I am having my styrofoam cup, having a coffee in that. So this is a very beautiful thing. If we attach the luxuries and the facilities that we get with the position, if we keep it attached only to the position, I think we'll be the happiest people on the earth. But if you attach that position, attach that facilities and luxuries with ourselves, then I think we'll be the most miserable people. And we have seen many people, we hear in the newspaper, they were literally dragged out of their given home, not their own home. Be it a chief minister or be it a prime minister. Because that home did not belong to them. That home belonged to the position. But just because being in that position, you identify so much with the position that you identify with that house or that luxury or that facility as well. And it becomes very difficult to give up. So that's the very important thing that we learn, that we should not be attached to the facilities associated with the position, or we should not identify ourselves with the position. And that is the same case we see here, Dhritarashtra, right? Literally everything is gone. He saw the entire match, which he and his team miserably got defeated. Miserably. And not just defeated, everyone was extinguished. Sare mare gaye. Koi bhi nahi bacha. Phir bhi, he is still identifying that I am still a king. Can you imagine how much a position can get into you? It can become a part of your body. We may wonder, oh, it's for Dhritarashtra, it's not for me. I can definitely say for myself that I can relate to Dhritarashtra so much. So much. And we can learn that how we can make sure that Dhritarashtra is quitting home, but we have to make sure that Dhritarashtra also quits our heart. Otherwise, just Dhritarashtra living on his home or leaving his home is not going to help us. He should leave our heart, at least my heart, I can say. He's still so prominent in my heart. So, these aspirations, as I said, it's good, but if you become so attached to that, that's a problem. And many a times what happens is all this goal definition, I don't know, some of you are in corporate, maybe I don't know whether brahmacharis do or not, but there is a goal setting and other stuff. So, you know, people want to have goals like, you know, finishing line and stuff like that. But if you see that, like, you know, that I want to achieve something in the life. But many a times we have seen that whatever the goal that you had in your life, once you achieve, most of the time we become disappointed. Why? Because the kind of endeavor that you put in to achieve that goal, and once you achieve it, you feel it's okay. Yaar, itna bhi kuch khas nahi hai. Like, you know, sometimes you have a goal to have the, like, you know, luxurious car, or goal to have a, like, you know, get to that promotion or a position or something. But once you get there, you feel disappointed, isn't it? That it's not so much of worth. And the people who could not achieve the goal, they are disheartened. Isn't it? So it's like that wonderful kahawat jo Hindi mein hai, right? Shadi ke laddu jo khaye wo bhi pashta hai, na khaye wo bhi pashta hai. Isn't it? So I was wondering that is actually very much connected to these our goal and aspirations and all that stuff. You know why? Because we connect that thing with the pleasure and the happiness. But we have to understand that if you attach the pleasure or the happiness with the goal that you are deciding or the aspirations that you are deciding, then you will be disappointed. It is given. The problem is we are focusing so much on the finishing line that we are not able to focus on the current process. And that is why the people who just focus on the finishing line, they fall on their face because they are not able to give attention to that current thing going on. They are just like, you know, living in that imaginary world. Oh, one day I'll become the president of this, or one day I'll having this particular position, or one day I have this particular facility, or that house, or that car, but not realizing what is happening now. And that is why if you see Srila Prabhupada, what he gave. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, right? What is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is you chant Hare Krishna. That is because the goal and the means are the same. And that is where you can have a peaceful life. If your goal is something, your process is something else, you will be miserable. You will be miserable. That's why Srila Prabhupada, so down to earth, and who gave us the real thing, who did not want to just attract people for the heck of it. He could have said so many other things, right? That what is the goal of chanting Hare Krishna? He could have said you can have such an amazing ecstatic symptoms, this, that, nothing. He said, you chant Hare Krishna. That is the beauty. And that is what we should learn from that. Now the second part that we want to discuss in this is fear. Many a times even aspirations can create fear. I don't know, some of you have realized or other, some of you have experienced or not. But when you have aspired for something, once you achieve that thing, it actually creates more fear. For an example, let's assume that you desire to have a Lamborghini, right? You aspired for that. One day I want to have that most expensive car. As soon as you get it, you'll be so fearful. अरे कोई चोरी करके लेके जाएगा, अरे कोई स्क्रैच आ जाएगा. You will be in so much of anxiety and fear. And the same thing with the position. You may be wondering that one day I can become the vice president, one day I become the president. Once you get there, you realize, अरे बाबा, there are so many responsibilities along with this, so much of headache, and not just that, at the same time, so many other people eyeing on this position and envying me, that trying to push me down. उससे अच्छा लगता है कि वो नीचे का पोजीशन अच्छा था यार, कोई नो हेडेक, नोबडी वाज प्लेइंग पॉलिटिक्स विद मी, आई वाज हैप्पी देयर. इजंट इट सो मच ऑफ फियर इवन आफ्टर फुलफिलिंग वंस एस्पिरेशंस और गोल, इजंट इट. सो फियर इज एन अमेजिंग फिनोमेना. इफ यू सी द एंटायर वर्ल्ड इज मूविंग ऑन द बेस ऑन द फियर. देयर आर सो मेनी थिंग्स, आई थिंक द होल इकोनॉमी is going on based on fear. You see what happened with Russia and Ukraine, of course, whatever the war happened, but many of the countries, they just make sure that one day if at all this happens, we have to have that out of fear. Hold this insurance business. Otherwise, how can they make business? Huh? Giving you an insurance that, okay, if you die or if you have an accident, we will pay for you. Are there some charity organizations? Are there some nice people who wants to do a welfare? They are social activists? No, they are not social workers. They are there to make money. Isn't it? All these insurance companies, they are cashing on the fear. They are cashing on fear. It is said that statistically that 65% of the fear, actually we fear of something that will never happen in the life. That will never happen in the life. There are about 12% of the fear, they said, is about the past, whatever happened in the past. 13% of the fear is about something caused by the people or the things that you cannot change, like your boss, or for the worst case, maybe your spouse or whatever it is, right? But that you cannot change, right? And there are about another like, you know, 5% is because of the natural situations, right? Be it a tsunami or whatever the other things that can have a fear in your mind. And only the 4% of the fear is the actual things that can happen with you. So you can imagine what this fear is. It's an amazing phenomena. Somebody said a nice acronym to this fear. That fear is the false evidence false evidence appearing real. That's the acronym somebody given. False evidences appearing real. Now there is a nice story that come across, right? There was a person sitting under a tree, and he was doing something, and suddenly he felt that somebody bit him. Okay, and then he just looked around and he saw rat going. So he said, "It's okay, no problem." But actually, the snake had actually bitten him, and he saw the rat. So he thought rat has bitten him, and he did not have any problem. He just made some, like, you know, first aid, and he was okay. After some time, under the same tree, he was doing similar kind of work, and again something bit him, and he just saw what's happening. This time he saw snake. But actually this time the rat has bitten him, but he saw the snake, and just because he saw the snake, he died. And we all know, right, even in Corona, right, in this COVID-19, so many people died out of fear. So many people died out of fear. So fear is actually can really make you go bonkers. And there is one true story that happened. I think Sachidananda Maharaj explains this story, that one of the person who was working in railways and he knew so much about the coal storage. And one day, like, you know, he was doing something in the coal storage, and by mistake somebody locked it out from outside. And then he knew that if somebody stays in this for more than 7 hours, that person is dead. So he was frantically trying to come out, but nobody was listening. Nothing was happening. It was a night time. And then, like, you know, in the morning when somebody came and he opened the door and he saw this person was actually dead. And they were all shocked. You know why they were shocked? Because actually that day there was no electricity in that area. So the practically cold storage was not working. There was no below zero temperature. But just because this person felt that, oh, I'm trapped in this cold storage and I'm going to die and this will happen, that will happen. And actually those things started happening to him. So how fear can completely trap you, it's really unbelievable. And that is why we see this fear is, we may not have fear of this kind of extreme situations. Our fear mostly lies between the gap that we have between our expectation and the reality. Our expectation is this, and our reality is here, right? And fortunately or unfortunately, a person like me, this gap actually keep on increasing with the power of time. Your expectation is there and you keep on going down, or maybe your expectations keep on going higher and higher. So the gap keep on increasing by the power of time. And the time is also amazing thing. We can never catch a time. Once Radhanath Maharaj very beautifully explained, if there is a watch here, right? A young person looking at the watch and an old person looking at the watch, both will have a different experiences. Even though they are looking at the same watch and it is moving at the same time. For an old person, even the second ka kaata bolte na, it looks like a hourly hand. It ja ki nahi raha hai time. And for a young person, that, like, you know, the hourly hand also looks like a second hand. You know, it just, like, you know, keep on, kitna time chala gaya yaar. What's going on? And another thing is, like, you know, the time is such powerful. Like, you know, anybody has seen their hair growing or nail growing? Even if you stare it for hours together, you feel it's not growing, but it still grows. Still grows, isn't it? So time is such a powerful thing, and that is what Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra here, that leave immediately. Enough is enough. You have spent so much of time. That is why if we do not want to be in a situation like Dhritarashtra, we should know how to create our foundation. If our foundation is based on any of the six opulences, it can be taken away by the power of time at any time. Isn't it? You may be having your foundation based on the wealth. Stock market crashes or anything happens, completely gone. Your whole foundation is collapsed. Right? If you're making your foundation based on the beauty, the wrinkle comes and people commit suicide. Right? You base your foundation based on being the most knowledgeable person. You can get the Parkinson's disease and you're gone. You completely lost your head. You don't realize who you are, what to speak of, knowing anything and everything. Strongest person, right? You base your foundation based on the strength. What happened to Muhammad Ali, right? They said, like, you know, he was such a strong person and doing miraculous things in boxing. When he was called, when he was somewhere around, like, you know, in his 80s or 90s to light the Olympic fire, his hand was, like, you know, shaking. People were praying hope that he does not, like, you know, drop the that mashal in his hand. Can you imagine? So if you base your foundation in any of these things, it's going to be collapsed. It's going to collapse. But if we base our foundation on somebody which is infallible, who is that infallible? Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. Krishna's one of the name is Achyuta, who is infallible. He'll never fall. If you base our foundation on that, then only we can have that peaceful life and a life of substance. So that's why it is very, very important that we base our life on Krishna. Right? So that is why it is very important that how we base our life on Krishna. And I would like to just quote one verse, and sorry, I'm not as scholar as you all, that I cannot remember the verses. So this is coming, the verse in 1st Canto, 7th chapter, 7th verse. Yasyam vai shriyamanayam krishne paramapuruse bhaktir upadyate pumsa shoka moha bhayapaha. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So all of us are sitting here. I got benefited by reading and speaking. You all got benefited just by giving the oral reception. And believe me, by doing this, at least at this point in time, we are all free of shoka, moha and bhaya. And that is why Srila Prabhupada made sure that every day in any of his temples, Srimad Bhagavatam class should be there. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And we are so grateful to Srila Prabhupada and disciple of Srila Prabhupada and grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada that even Srimad Bhagavatam is becoming a home delivery. Isn't it? Home delivered. You don't have to do anything. You just have to make an endeavor to not to lift the mobile phone, because anyways we have lifted the mobile phone. We just have to, instead of WhatsApp and other stuff, even WhatsApp only, you can continue in the WhatsApp, but go to the ISKCON Desire Tree group and just click on the today's Bhagavatam class and you can hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day. So that is the beauty of devotees who have given us this wonderful opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam itself declares that if you hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, then you will be free from shoka, moha and bhaya. Who doesn't want to be free of fear? Isn't it? So you may wonder that, Prabhuji, hum log ne to suna hai kafi bar par ye jata nahi hai, but is there any example? So yeah, there are so many examples who have perfected this. They are free of shoka, moha and bhaya. Who are these? Prahlad Maharaj, right? He was remembering Lord all the time. And we see the story of Prahlad Maharaj, that so much of atrocities that he has undergone, but he was completely fearless. We may wonder, Prabhuji, wo to Prahlad Maharaj, Treta Yuga, abhi ka kya baat hai? Abhi ka baat batao kuch. So we see Srila Prabhupada. Isn't it? How fearless Srila Prabhupada is, amazing. Being in corporate, we have to, like, you know, sometimes go to US, or even we have to send people to US. You can see people in so much of panic and fear, even after we fill their travel card with tons of dollars. Agar nahi chala to, aisa ho gaya to, wo accept nahi kar raha hai ye wala card. So much of fear, even after having so much, even if you have a cash with you, in dollars, not in rupees, like how Srila Prabhupada went with 40 rupees, it was non-exchangeable. And not just that, there was no red carpet welcome over there. If you go, all these employees go to US and other things, they have a hotel booked from here itself. Was there any hotel booked for Srila Prabhupada? He was roaming in the streets of New York. And you really have to understand or even realize that what it means to roam around alone without having any shelter on the street of New York. It's pathetic. Even today it is so pathetic. What to speak of at that time? And if you happen to be in New York, go to Bowery. Even today Bowery is such a horrible place and such a dangerous place. And how Srila Prabhupada, and we read in Prabhupada Lila Amrita, like how he managed. So many attacks happen on Srila Prabhupada. His typewriter was stolen. So many things happening. But see, because he was taking a shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, he was fearless. And not just Srila Prabhupada, all his disciples also. We hear the wonderful story from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj about Kunti Devi in Utah. Was such a... She was on the deathbed and she was giving inspirations and motivations to so many other people who were struggling in their finance and so many other things. And looking at her, they were getting inspired. She was on the deathbed. Who can be most fearful? Somebody, bolte na ki, like, you know, sar salamat to pagdi hazar. Right? If you have life, then you can do anything. So people were struggling with their finance and other things, but this lady was struggling with the death. But he was so fearless. Even we hear about Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. He was so fearless. So I'll just conclude with one last thing, that what is the... How do we understand the consciousness of a devotee, a true devotee? And how and why they are fearless? Is like a girl who is going to get married. And if there is an arranged marriage for a people who are not into devotion, who are not into spirituality, for them, it's like an arranged marriage. What happens in the arranged marriage? The girl is crying profusely. Why? Because, like, you know, she's going to miss her parents. And at the same time, she do not know who is out there and who is, like, you know, in that home. And how she will be treated and everything. She's going completely into the unknown territory. Isn't it? And that is the reason also she is crying profusely. Ki pata nahi kya hoga. The two reasons she is crying. Now a devotee, or rather a girl who is in love and she gets married, what happens to her? Of course she will be, like, you know, definitely going to miss her parents, so she cries. But she's excited because she knows where she is going. Right? She's really looking forward for it. And that's why she's excited. That is what the position of a devotee. Right? When a person who is not into devotion, who is not into spirituality, when they die, they do not know where they are going, right? That's why they are so fearful. But a devotee, when they are dying, they know they are going to Krishna. They are actually excited. So there is no question of fear for them, right? There's a wonderful analogy is actually given by His Grace Vrajvihari Prabhu. And of course, whatever I have spoken today is thanks to ISKCON Desiretri, so that I can, like, you know, collect from so many lectures and other things. So it's nothing but a compilation of all the wonderful Vaishnavas who has shared their realizations through wonderful lectures of Srimad Bhagavatam. So I tried to share whatever I could gather from all these wonderful devotees. So thank you all very much for giving me the opportunity. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Is there any corrections? I cannot dare to ask that, is there any question, but is there any correction, then please do so. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.